For those who are visiting, Archie, not that I'm calling people out, everybody, where is Archie? Oh, he's still here. We hadn't scared him off yet. I met Archie at the National Prayer, the National Prayer Service we had. I was honored to speak there on Thursday, and Kathy was there, and Archie asked if I was related somehow to a heart surgeon, and that was my dad. And he and Kathy worked together at a hospital with my dad. Thought that was real sweet. And Kathy, our little evangelist Kathy, invited him to come this morning. So Archie, it's great to have you. So we are looking at Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to sit here and, this is so comfortable. I may stop all this prancing around. What we're talking about is this whole idea. You notice today, Gita, the whole theme is being the light of the world. That's what we are. We are called, guys, to be the light. And you know, we don't do a very good job of that, but we are called to be children of the light. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And we talked last week about what a heavy thing that is to say that we're actually supposed to, Bill, imitate God Almighty. I mean, that is what it says to do. And how do we do that? Verse 2 tells us, we walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Pastor Larry talks often about how God is love. And if we're to imitate God, we're to imitate the love with which he loves all of his children. Okay. And we're to imitate the things of God and the characteristics of God and the things that are particular to him. And then Paul begins to give us this whole list of things that we're to do or not do, Aaron, that have to do with putting on the new man. And I'm going to talk about this over and over today. We don't come to Christ through our works, but we have to work very hard to become Christ-like. Do y'all understand me? I wish that our hard-headed Missourian was here today. No, I'm not talking about you, Mike, from Missouri. I'm not talking about you. We have three in here from Missouri, and two of y'all have it down, but the third one that usually sits in the back can't seem to get it straight that I'm not talking about works. When I say Christ has given, salvation is a free gift, but becoming Christ-like, guys, it is hard work. And why is it hard work? Because it's completely contrary to our nature as human beings. We are born with an old man. And that old man wants to kick and scream and fight against anything and everything that has to do with the holiness of God. Amen? Amen. And so he goes on and he says, we are to love others as a sweet smelling aroma, Mike. That's just like when Jesus offered himself for us. It was like a sweet smelling aroma there on the cross to the Father. And then he begins and he goes into these things about how we behave in a way we do as he does, and not just he says, as I saw in the house study, in the visual study Bible. And I recited it to y'all last week. We put in a quote by Dr. House where he says, we shouldn't be so concerned in trying to do the things that he says as we are to do the things as he does. That is what it means to imitate Christ. The Greek word is the word from which we get the word mimic. We're to mimic God that way. And it's against our flesh to do that. What are some of the things? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. I want to talk about fornication for a minute. Everybody looks so shocked. I want to talk about adultery. These are, God gave sexual pleasure, guys and ladies, as a blessing to us. But it's a blessing that is to be confined to the restrictions and the boundaries for which he made it. And that's the boundaries of a marriage, okay? And when we get out of that, it gets all screwy and crazy because we're outside of the way that God intended it to be. The word fornication comes from the same word from which we get pornography. It's porneia in Greek, okay? And so God is saying to us here, if we're to be Christ-like, put away fornication. Don't be out messing around sexually with somebody. This is talking about generally for unmarried people. That's what fornication is. It says, yes, wait until you're married and in a marriage relationship to have this kind of intimacy with another person. Adultery is when married people go outside of the bounds of their marriage and they become intimate with others. breaking those bonds of marriage, okay? He says, let none of this be named even among you. And he uses the word that I read, covetousness. And the better word there is one that I said from the NASB on Wednesday night, and that is no greediness. And what is greediness? Greediness is when you're always wanting more. You're wanting either more pleasure, you're wanting more wealth, maybe you're wanting more status, maybe you're wanting more power, okay? And we're to have no greediness among us. That means to where we're satisfied. Just like the song you picked out, I'm satisfied with a little, cottage below, what does it say? With a little silver and a little gold, okay? We're to be satisfied, people. This doesn't mean that you don't make plans for life and try to do better, you know? Sometimes it's nice to have a little bigger cottage than a tiny cottage. But we should be the kind of people, Louis, that are pleased even when we're in a small cottage. You're in a motorhome right now. What a great place to be. God's put you right where he wants you. He's made it affordable for you, and he's blessing you right there. Amen? So we don't need to be yearning and yearning for more, because there will never be enough that will satisfy. Ever. I don't know if it's one of the seven deadly sins or not, but it's just a bad, bad thing. And Paul says, if you're going to be Christ-like, let's don't be that way. Because there's no amount of, as I've told you all, we want to be loved and accepted. We want to have value and worth. There's no amount of sex that someone can give you to make you feel like you're loved and accepted, or no amount of stuff that you can accumulate to really make you feel like you have value and worth. It has to come through your identity in Christ. And then he goes on, this isn't fitting for saints. Who are the saints, Kathy? Amen. That's a Catholic that's learned something. I'm not picking on you, Kathy, but we are the saints. When you are new in Christ, you're a new creature, and you and I are saints. No filthiness nor foolish talking. Foolish talking in Greek says stupid words. So no stupid words. Let's be careful about how much we jest one another. Now, when I'm working beside Cassandra, sometimes when we're doing our little construction projects, we'll pick on one another. But I always draw a line where I don't let that picking become too deep where it's hurtful. Do y'all know what I'm saying? And so we have to be careful and practice restraint to where we just don't get where it becomes a kind of a pie fest where we're slapping each other in the face, but where we don't have any kind of foolish talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. So he says, don't get caught up in kind of coarse stuff. Y'all know what coarse stuff is. When you're listening to coarse speech or you're engaging in coarse speech, you're not making God smile. It's Pastor Larry's definition of holiness. Doing, thinking, saying things that put a smile on God's face, okay? So that's what we're to do. And he says, instead of all that mess, give thanks. I've told you all that I've never met a joyful person that was not thankful. People that are unthankful are some of the joyless, most dour, I don't even know the word in English, dour, we would say in Gaelic. They're some of the most soured people that I've ever met, because they never learn to be thankful. And Paul is very, very specific to us, saying, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Does that mean this week when I woke up and I didn't have a voice kind of this morning and last night, I'm to give thanks? Yes. I'm to give thanks. I did say, Lord, please restore my voice before tomorrow morning. So we need to be people that are thankful people. That's part of putting on the new man, Larry. And then he goes on and he says, for this you know, and listen up now, this sounds like people that might be saved that backslide are not saved. I want you to hear this, all of you. And I sure wish Tim were here to hear this. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor greedy man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What is this saying? It sounds like it's saying that if somebody fornicates, or maybe if they're drunk, or they're greedy, that they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God or of Christ. I think what it's saying is this. There's two kinds of people. There's Christians, and there's non-Christians. Non-Christians are slaves to their flesh. We already know that by definition. Christians, as you said, Kelton, are freed from sin. But we can go back and we can keep tasting it and going after it and chasing it and not putting on the new man. In speaking with Dr. House and I think Tim and I the other day, because he was confused about part of a message, Dr. House put it in a great way. He said, when we are believers, but when we appear to be believers, or we say we're believers, but we're habitually engaged in sin over and over and over, and there's no remorse within us, then there's a question of whether we ever got saved. We're talking about not about the Christian that gets drunk and then regrets it and is sad about it and broken heart about it and says, God, somehow change me. That shows that there's a desire in there, right? That shows that there's a Holy Spirit who is competing, so to speak, with the flesh in there. But it's when a person habitually sins, they're engaged in it, there's no remorse in it, they stick it in your face. I think the question was, can a homosexual be a Christian? That was posed to Dr. House. And he said, you know, he said, I think that when the Bible doesn't say that whoso calls upon the name of the Lord can't be saved if they're a homosexual. You know, it doesn't say that. Anybody can be saved. But if a person continues on sinning and engaging in things habitually, and it's here in your face, and here you must accept this, then there's a question as to whether or not they ever had a real born-again experience in the Lord. Is that clear? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I think it has to do with when I have done things in my past that were contrary to the Lord, I remember being heartbroken, saying, God, this shows me so much more of how I need you than I had even imagined. That is the kind of heartfelt repentance that a believer feels. Y'all follow me? And then Paul goes on. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the saints, the sons of disobedience. I think that's saying, don't listen to the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world, we know that the wisdom of the Lord is foolishness to the world, right? So don't be deceived by the world, because it will end up in the wrath of God. And it comes on the sons of disobedience. I think that's probably pertaining to those who get sidetracked by the world, who never come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he goes on for our theme of the day, and he says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. I like that better than partners. He says, just don't join in with that kind of thought, but look to the Lord. And how do we, is it that we find what God's word is, what God's desire is for our life? Guys, we find it in the Word. That's how we find it. We go to His Word instead of the things that the world tells us. He goes on, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And this is really the theme of today. And it's what Larry talked about in our men's Bible study today. Walk as children of light, for this fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And those are really three of them that are found there in the fruits of the Spirit. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. I want to talk for a minute about this. Walking as children of the light with goodness, righteousness, and truth, that is when your heart and your life are submitted to the Holy Spirit. You're getting up daily and you're asking God to fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit. And I can't remember where I had this. Oh, it'll come in a minute when we talk about being drunk. I'm going to talk about this morning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which we receive at salvation, versus the filling of the Spirit, which is an event which happens over and over and over again. There's a lot of confusion about that. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. I had a ex-brother-in-law that lived with us for a while, and he was a crack addict. And the things that he told me were so horrible, they shouldn't even be repeated. And it's so strange to me that people that get off and engage in drugs or get off in drunken binges think that they're being so free, and yet they end up being nothing but slaves. And he told me about things that went on in the crack house. He said, you wouldn't believe it, but, and after a while I said, you know what, I just don't want to hear any of this anymore. It was so horrible and so hurtful to my soul to think that human beings could subject themselves to such deprivation. It sounded like I was hearing what animals did. And it was absolutely horrible. And that is where Satan and the flesh take a person. It is into total slavery. Remember when we were studying, we had our Torah study for a year, and we talked about Baal, and I told y'all that that means dominator, basically, in the etymology. God is not a dominator. He is a liberator. And when he gets a hold of you, and you let him get a hold of you, you are liberated from these things, Archie, and you are no longer dominated by these things. But all, and I'm not picking on you, Archie. I just looked up and saw you there. So don't everybody wonder what Archie's been up to. For it is shameful even to speak of these things in secret. And I'm thinking of in Ephesus, the things that I saw there in Ephesus, their giant houses of prostitution and their wayward lifestyle. I mean, they maybe not as bad as Corinth, but pretty bad out there, okay? They were flesh, it was wealth, it was everything that had to do with the five senses and very little that had to do with the Spirit of God. So that young little group of Christians were hanging on, Sherry, trying to hang on to their identity in Christ. I'm going to skip there about wake up, you sleep. Let's get down to 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He's saying, be prudent people. Measure well what the effect of your actions and words will have. That's called prudence, okay? He's saying, we need to be those kind of people that are careful with what we say. One of you all emailed me this week and misunderstood what I say about when we're on the job. I'm not saying go unnoticed. I'm saying don't be the blabbermouth that gets yourself in trouble, right? In a job situation, don't get caught up in the office drama. We're just to be circumspect, not as fools, but we're to have wisdom, and wisdom is prudence. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And in your written sermon today, you got the verse I gave that reminds us in the Word, guys, our lives are just a vapor. They are so short. And man, I am becoming more and more aware of it daily. You can amen if you're over 65. She says, I'm not over 65, but I amened it anyway, okay? Yeah, and so our lives are just this vapor. Let's use them. Let's use the days that we have left to glorify the Lord in all that we do. And to be the people, put on that new man. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he's going to tell us, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We are commanded to not become intoxicated. And I will add into that all kinds of drugs and things to not intoxicate ourselves where we're trying to cover up our hurts and our bad habits and our hang-ups and the things that happened to us in our past, because it leads, Paul says, to dissipation. Mine said also debauchery. What I'm saying is this. I have friends who just couldn't stop drinking, and the wheels ended up coming off of their lives. And it was very, very sad. Bill and I had a friend, close friend, that ended up, and he just held up a bottle of wine. He said, I love this more than you, talking to his wife. I love this more than life. He ended up passing out, fell into his coffee table and bled back into his brain and died. It always leads to dissipation. The wheels will come off of your life. Expenses won't get paid. Problems will happen. You wonder, why is this happening to me? Well, when you are drunk with wine, Paul tells you, because it's going to end in dissipation. But instead, what should we be filled with? What should be the balm for our souls? What should be the thing that medicates us, if I want to put it that way? It's the Holy Spirit of God. And then Paul says this beautiful thing, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think that's so interesting. I had a person contact me this week on Facebook and said, I'm looking for a church where only hymns are sung and you only use the hymnal. And I thought, wow, what a restricted sense of what worshiping the Lord is all about. Yes, we love old hymns, but Paul kind of addresses this here. He says, speak to each other psalms, that means praises, and hymns, maybe that's the older hymns of the faith, and spiritual songs, like these worship songs that we sing, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. I remember when I first came here, out cutting my hayfield, Cassandra, and I would sing over my tractor, and I would begin praising the Lord on that red Massey Ferguson 383 I had, and I'd sing so loud, and praise so loud and scream so loud, I was thinking maybe the next door neighbors would hear me. But that's the kind of thing it's talking about, where you're putting these, making these melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes back talking about that. And last he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to each other. I want to talk more about this Wednesday and about and on Sunday. But submitting, I have to just go from right now my own vocabulary from the languages that I'm maybe capable in. And it's someter, okay? And it means to put under. That's what submitting means. Mitto is from the Latin word mittere. Mitto, mittere, all right? And it means that we don't have to be top dog. I'm just going to say that's what submitting one to another. If I'm in an executive council meeting and somebody brings up a better idea than I do, I don't need to top that idea. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And we should be the kind of brothers and sisters here in this room that when we see someone excel in something that we're maybe less capable in, we cheer them on. We want them to be the best. We want them to stand out and do that kind of thing. I don't try to out-sing Larry, okay? And that's what he's saying. We submit to one another. I submit to Scott Brown when it comes to things of construction. I don't need to be the top dog, but we need to rejoice and realize that God has given each of us in this room very special, specific gifts, and we can lean on one another because that's God's provision for all of us to have what we need. Isn't that a cool thing? And so we're going to talk about that Wednesday in the context of a marriage. We'll share a little bit about how our marriage has worked and how we've done this. But Paul now is talking to everybody in the church, saying, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So in finishing up, I just want to say to you guys, I think this is a great formula for how we can have an amazing church. It can be an amazing formula when we don't engage in coarse talk with one another, when we're playing cards together, or when we're working side by side, Larry. I've been disheartened when I've learned that some who have worked beside Aaron, who's a new believer, have not bridled their tongue and spoken in ways that ought not to be spoken by a believer who's a believer for decades. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? We're to lift up and bring up and carry up and point to Jesus. And then Aaron, you do the same to people that God then brings into your life. That's what we're to do. We're to be people that are not carried away with wine and alcohol and things that are drugs that we take to try to do this or to do that. Not to be involved habitually in any of this stuff. Singing and making hymns and making melodies in our hearts. But I just look at it and I say, we need to walk as children of the light. That's what Paul is telling us to do. Wednesday night, I told the group that light and dark are something that I've kind of thought about my whole life. You think, well, does dark really exist? Or is it just the absence of light? Or is light really exist? I mean, you can get into this psychological and philosophical and question about what came or what didn't come. But we are the light of the world. Jesus said, we're like that city on a hillside. I remember being way out in rural Ireland when I was learning the Irish language. In a little village, you couldn't see roads. There's no street lights. But you kind of knew where people lived because there were little flickers in the window. And that's how a city would have been back in the time of Jesus. All they had were little lamps, little oil lamps, little candles. And Jesus is saying, be like that little village out there that you can see on a hillside. Don't hide your light under a bushel. So you got to have the light shining first before you even decide whether to hide it or not. And so Paul is saying, as you put on the new man, that putting on the new man is letting Christ's light shine through you. When I first met Sandy, she and a lady named Terry came down little house on Park Avenue where I lived. It wasn't Park Avenue in New York. It was in Raleigh, North Carolina. And they came down and we began singing. And she says, you have a guitar. Do you sing? Yeah, I sang. This was the first hour that we ever met. She said, well, I'd like to sing you a little song. And so she sang me a little song called I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. And it really is the message of today. Do you have that lyrics where you can come up and... She said, didn't I put them up here? She did put them up here. So let's sing in a, maybe Larry's, or you want to sing? All right. I had these for you guys to sing also. But this is a real, real sweet song. And if you listen to it, come here by me, dear.
Really I just want to add that you can't walk in a room and turn on the dark, but you can turn on the light. The light chases away the darkness. The darkness does not ever overcome light. Just remember that.
What I talked about Wednesday was, you know, living out in a farmhouse, if any of you do, you know that thing where you go in to get the drink of water at night and you turn on the kitchen and all kinds of critters sometimes run around and they're running from the light, be they cockroaches or little mice or whatever. No reflection on our home, but we live on a farm and sometimes those happen. But it's funny how they always are running from the light. They do. They run, run, run. And if we're living the way we are, that alone, the way we ought to be, that alone convicts the world. It really, really does.
Can you sing an acapella?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess I don't have to, yeah.
No, if you put your guitar on.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God sent the stars to give light to the world. The light of my life is Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of Christ. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the joy of Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
Would you close us in prayer, this part? Sandy's going to pray, and then Larry's going to come give us a gift of a Mother's Day song.
Lord Jesus, thank you for the great honor and privilege that we have to praise you. Thank you that you do give your light, that you shine your light on us, that you spoke light into the darkness that enveloped our world in the very beginning, Lord. We praise you. May we always seek your light. May we always find your light when we need it in our dark places. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would bless us as we go forth this week, and that we will seek for places and ways that we can be your light to the world around us. Praise you, dear Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Deacons, I think maybe Ken and Scott, y'all do the offering while we do this part. Tell us about the song, Larry.
Absolutely. This is not a Christian song, as to say. It's just kind of a special little song for mothers. It's a Mother's Day song, and I dedicate it to all of you mothers out there. I dedicate it to my mama. And I think it just has a great message. It tells a story of what we all gain and have when we have mothers. So.
And it is country, because you can't have a country song without singing about mama.
Oh, it is country.
We got here red and wrinkled, scared and crying. And she took him up and held him to her breast. And he sure was glad to get what mama offered. Then he went to sleep and put his fears to rest. Didn't seem to matter what he needed. He could always count on mama to supply. Regardless of the sleep she might be losing, always find a twinkle in her eyes. There ought to be a hall of fame for mamas. Creation's most unique and precious bird. That she knew he couldn't learn away from home. By the time she wore the cover off her Bible, her hair was gray and her little man was gone. Ought to be a hall of fame for mamas. Creation's most unique and precious pearl. Heaven help us always to remember that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That rocks the cradle, rules the world.
Happy Mother's Day.
You guys stand.